The first guitar that I got had to be electric. It had to be red. There was no way that my dear old dad could afford a Fender Stratocaster, so I ended up with a Hofner 50 quid, which was a big stretch for him in those days. And the first thing that I did when I got it home was get a connection to the radio, one of the twin coaxial things, and ruined the family radio with it, with, you know, the outrageous power of 1.5 watts or whatever it was delivering. And I was too embarrassed to ask Dad for an amplifier. So I used to borrow friends' acoustic guitars, and that's really how I ended up playing folk music. I really wanted to be Elvis Presley or playing Chuck Berry songs or whatever in a rock and roll band, but it was a question of finance. Then if you had a van, you were in a band. If you had a drum kit, you were in a band. And if you had an amplifier, then there was a good chance that you could get yourself lined up with somebody.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell.
The most important rock and roll figures were the biggest influences. There was Chuck Berry, of course, and I was always attracted not just to the straight rock and stuff, but to the poetry of it, the rhythm of the lyrics. Something like You Never Can Tell, for instance, which used to knock me out. As well as obviously the thrill and the energy of the teenage thing that he put his finger on so well, which was a new phenomenon, really. The word had never even been used, you know, when Chuck was already writing about Sweet Little 16, this new power of teenagers. Because before, I think young people became adults immediately. They went from school to adulthood. The girls wore twin sets and pearls and the boys put a suit on and went to work. Whereas now these teenagers were around with their own money and their own interests. And it was reflected in the songs, which I loved so much.
They had a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. The young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell.
When I was 9 years old, I made friends with a little fella who had an older sister with a record player, and I used to watch her jive into Ricky Nelson records.
Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we never part. So hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart.
Again, I got obsessive about James Burton on guitar. I didn't know it was James Burton then. I was just in love with it. Hello, Mary Lou would be another one of Ricky's that knocked me sideways. And then particularly the Everly Brothers. That John Lennon and Paul McCartney and everybody else and George Harrison were listening to those records and loving them and being influenced by them. All I knew was that I just loved it and I wanted to be a part of it. Chet Atkins told me a story about the Everlys. When he used to know their father, Ike Everly, who was a great player, and Chet was playing at a county fair on a back of a truck, and he was quite a figure in those days. And Ike came up and said, "Chet, I want you to meet my boys." And they pointed over to the fence, and the boys, the Everlys, were looking through a hole in the fence because they didn't have the money to get into the fair. And Ike says, "They sing and play, come and meet them." And he went over and he remembers these skinny little kids, about 14 years old. And they were the Everly brothers. And that's how Chet met them, through a hole in the fence of a county fair. And another great character from that time who I loved a lot was Don Gibson, who I always feel was underestimated in many ways, and still is, really, by the so-called historians of the music, because Don Gibson wrote himself solo. You know, he wrote a tremendous amount of great stuff, and again, Chet Atkins was instrumental in bringing a lot of those things out.
Lonesome number one, just call me lonesome number one. All the low times of I won, I sure must be lonesome number one. Every love I've had has fitted like the dew. Everyone I've wanted has wanted someone new. Heartaches always keep me on the run. I surely must be lonesome. Just won't come here. Just when love gets close, always disappears. Sorrow always keeps me on the run. I surely must be lonesome number one. Lonesome number one. Just call me lonesome.
Williams had Fred Rose to do an awful lot of work for him, but Don Gibson worked on his own a lot of the time. And I remember, again, the atmosphere and the consciousness of imagery and staying in a real cool, swinging way inside the genre of things like Sea of Heartbreak. I had the good fortune to meet him not so long ago. It was an unforgettable night round at Waylon Jennings' house. Waylon's another hero of mine. He's one of the great princes of country music. I've just done something with him for a Buddy Holly tribute album. But I was there with Roger Miller and Don Gibson, Waylon and Chet, and we played a lot of music, and Chet and I were playing Just One Time, which we actually had done on the Neck and Neck album that I did with Chet. And Waylon just suddenly reached over and grabbed his guitar and played the solo that Chet played on the record. And it was a great moment, because you realize how hard Waylon had studied and how much he loved the guitar playing, how hard he'd worked to get that solo. It was a great moment. And Don, who had just come out of hospital with serious heart surgery, wasn't very strong, but he sang some stuff, and he sang Sweet Dreams, and it was just electrifying in the room. And Roger Miller as well played and sang and was charming and a wonderful man, and it was so great to meet him before he passed away. And speaking of Roger Miller, King of the Road has got to be one of the greatest popular songs, I think. Maybe one of the best records ever made, in my view.
Trailer for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes. Oh, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 four-bit room. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train,
destination Bangor, Maine. Oh, worn out suit and shoes. I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found. Short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. I know every engineer on every train. All of the children and all of their names. And every handout in every town. And every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I sing trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 four-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. Trailers for sale rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12.
Something happened when I was recording with Dylan. Was one of the very important country blues influences on me was when I was in Leeds and getting my first taste of national steel guitars and all the rest of it and bottleneck playing was Blind Willie McTell.
I was going down Merritt Avenue the other night. Met up with a gang of stags. Samuel, come on, go with me down to Atlanta Strut tonight. Well, I don't care to go. Showed me a quart of corn. Went on down the street. Met up with a little girl. She looked like a lump of Lord have mercy. Me and her walked on down the street like this.
Bob had written a song called Blind Willie McTell. And to me, that the circle coming round from my own influences to doing something like that, the importance of Blind Willie to both of us. And it was a good moment.
I'm gazing at the window of the St. James Hotel.
That's the circle going round in the same way as, you know, a lot of my other influences that I enjoy very much about music. To me, that's everything. That's all that it is.
You've been listening to Mark Knopfler on Radio 2, talking about his musical roots. The programme was produced in Birmingham by Robin Valk.